every time there's kind of an opening, you come to the next boundary condition that you don't quite understand. And so the response of the world to that boundary condition gives you the opportunity to practice right there with what is threatening. If you are just totally in touch with your truest being, how can that be threatening to other people? To simply watch and then to see if there's a way in which the heart can open to include their reactions, even if it's something that you don't feel is just mostly emanating from yourself, and see if you can cultivate compassion for that, and in some way, in that, your own steps, your own carriage, the way you carry yourself will change as that seeing becomes clearer. So, in a sense, everything that comes up becomes the object of practice in this moment. And while there is a sense that there may be development along the way and that you've shed certain aspects of your being and, say, gotten, you know, more confident or more generous or whatever, there's always aspects of it interfacing with the world that require more looking, so to speak. So those people who are reacting to you in that way are really your teachers, if you choose to take it on that way. And sometimes the lessons are very unpleasant. They're really unpleasant. Especially if you think, and I'm not saying this to you, but I'm talking about myself, if there's the impulse to sort of think that you've arrived someplace and that other people should sort of recognize that you've made a lot of progress or whatever. And, you know, the trouble is, of course, the pronouns. You, I, me. If there's a you that's arrived, there's still more work to do, you know, because that's a thought. And it doesn't mean that there's no you either, that, you know, I mean, if you wake up one morning and you decide that you've seen deeply into your nature and there is no you, so you're not going to get dressed and you're not going to eat and you're not going to work because it's all empty. It's not a complete understanding and it will create a lot of problems, you know. On the other hand, if you start to, you know, get really reified around the pronoun, I don't like the way people are relating to me, can't they see that this or that, then that's also a problem. So whatever it is for all of us, it's just another occasion to sort of see if the heart can expand even further. It's humiliating. It's very hard work. And the reason to do it is because what else is there to do? Seriously, what else is there to do? When we learn to walk, okay, whether we can walk now or not, when we learn to walk, how do we learn? Do we follow a manual, or do the adults, some teacher, come up to us and say, well, walking's really kind of like a balancing act. It's a dynamic thing. You kind of lift one foot and then you fall forward, you know, balancing on the other. You fall forward, you catch yourself. It's a controlled falling. Then you let the weight shift onto that foot, and then you kind of lift the other one, and then you fall forward again. Did any of you learn to walk that way? And then you're graded, you know, on how good your falling is or your stopping. The way we learn how to walk is by falling on our asses, by pulling ourselves up persistently and tottering out into space and falling down and having big people laugh at us a lot of the time because it's so cute. But I don't know any children who sort of took it personally and said, well, this is too humiliating. Too many doors are slamming in my face. I think I'll opt for a wheelchair rather than this. It's like horrible, like how humiliating to have to fall on my butt all the time. And the reason is that we learn to walk before we learn to think and to judge and to be sensitive to like what other people's opinions are. I'll tell you my personal experience, okay? I wanted to bring Buddhist meditation into a hospital. In 1979, I wanted to bring Buddhist meditation into a hospital in a way that would really speak to people in 1979 and yoga. And I had some ideas about why I wanted to do that and why it would be useful. And it became very clear to me that there were thousands and thousands of ways. Let's say that the value of Buddhist meditative practice and yoga done from a Buddhist mindful perspective is huge, incalculably huge, which I believed then and believe now that it is. Nevertheless, it became very clear to me right away, there were thousands of ways to set this thing up to fall right on its face. Thousands of ways for it to fail, for it to be stillborn, for it to generate so much resistance and inflammation in the minds of people with power and authority and who run the place, that it would never, ever emerge in any form. You with me so far? And very, very few ways, fewer anyway, that could possibly lead to its growth, to its birth, to its success. What is the way in? Okay? And these people who are giving you resistance, they're helping you. They're not assholes. They're right. Their concern is for the bottom line. Their concern is for what they understand. They don't understand what they don't understand. And they're not going to magically understand just because your heart wants something else. But it ain't over. It's like, how are you going to dance with that? If you keep getting beaten up in certain arenas, that doesn't mean you lie down and die. It means that you expand the field of your awareness of different possibilities. Now, some of those might be terrifying to you, I agree. But isn't that why many of us never do what we really want to do in the world? Because it just seems like from the point of view of the mind, it's too hard, too many obstacles. So it's a challenge to ask the question, what would it take for this thing to actually work? How can I align myself with what you might call the Tao? How can I align myself with the forces that are the way they are, that the world works in a certain way? The baby learns about gravity and then finds a way all by herself. Because she's not all by herself. She's carrying the genetic momentum of the entire human race and underneath that, everything that's ever walked inside. And you are too, in terms of your understanding of what's possible. And that's the challenge. And it's very real. I don't mean for this to sound theoretical or cosmic. It's very real. It's like barrier here, barrier there, barrier everywhere. What can you do? What can you do? That's a wonderful place to live inside. That's not a place to get depressed. Or if you get depressed or terrified, okay, then that becomes a part of your practice. No one said koans are going to be easy. And no one said the waters will part and it will all just come together for you. Because you see, if that happened, it wouldn't be true to you. We've got to do a certain kind of stretching so that the world rearranges itself as sort of you're part of this Tao, and when you do your part, the world will conspire, collaborate with you to do its part, and something actually new, an emergence will come out. Something will emerge, and then it will be authentic, because you'll have scaled the rock face with a certain degree of intimacy and non-attachment to outcome, which is the hardest thing for us to learn. Non-attachment to the outcome. You do it because it's your passion, because you love it, and not because it will lead you to anywhere. And then even the growing of it, not just when I get there, then I'll be practicing the kind of law I want and everything will be together. It never gets any better than this moment. Never gets any better than this moment. So that's a cause for tremendous joy. And the people who are resistant to you, you can either work with their resistance, and I never met a human being that if you didn't drop down deeply enough, you couldn't connect with. I mean, I know there are sociopaths out there. I just have not met any. But barring sociopaths, You know, the Dalai Lama is very clear on this point. He says everybody wants to be happy. All the people that you don't like, they all just want to be happy. They had mothers that probably wanted them to be happy, or they didn't have mothers, and whatever it is, I mean, we all want the same thing. So sometimes compassion is just seeing the other person in yourself when they don't care about your happiness. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't care about theirs. In fact, it's quite a stretch to do that.